Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. And then we'll also be going back to Genesis chapter 6 as well. So if you want to find that spot in your Bible, we'll go back there and look at some verses of Scripture there and relating to the message this morning as well. We compare our lives to the lives of characters in the Bible. Sometimes we have a notion that people in the Bible had an easier time than we do because the times must have been more godly, more righteous, more, you know, better living people back in that day. We think of our day, and some of you are older than me and some of you are younger than me, so the good old days may depend on how far back you go. But sometimes you think of the old days as days where people spent more time in church, where people didn't swear so much as people do today, where people lived, generally speaking, most people lived a relatively good life and had thought of God and lived for God. So we think about that and we say, well, if that's the way it was, 50 years ago, 100 years ago or so, then surely if we go back a few thousand years ago, things must have been really great. Things must have been really easy to live for God, because if 100 years ago or 75 years ago, things were more built on godly principles in life, and society was built that way, then the further back you go, the closer it would be to living for God. But as we look closer at the Word of God, we'll find that is not the case. That's very definitely not the case. And such is definitely not the case as we look at our Bible character that we'll study this morning. Of course, we are carrying on in our series of messages on faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning we will look at the man Noah. Now, Noah is known for a lot of things. Noah is mostly known for building an ark. Most people think of Noah. They think of maybe a nursery with a picture of a cute little boat on the side with a giraffe sticking its head out the window and the animals coming two by two and so on. Which, of course, he did build an ark. I don't think it looked anything like most of the pictures that are made of it. But the animals did come into the ark, for the most part, two by two, and some in sevens, and so on. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, that Noah was known for faith. And let's read that verse there. It says in Hebrews 11, 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." I want to consider this morning a message with this thought. Are you moved by faith? Are you moved by faith? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time and your word. Thank you for each one who is gathered this morning. And Lord, I ask that as we do meet around your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you that you want to speak to our hearts. And you are the great creator of the whole world. And yet, with 7 billion people or so on this earth, you care about each one of us individually. And so individually, you desire to speak to our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to listen to what you have for us in the message today. That whether it's our first time here or whether we've been many times before, Lord, that we would leave here drawn closer to you with something to think about, something to ponder on. And Lord, if there be anyone that is here this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And Lord, that they would go from here rejoicing, knowing that there is a home in heaven prepared for them and awaiting them when their time on this earth would come to a close. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to each one of us and that we would give attention to you as you speak to us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about Noah's life. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I mentioned we're going to go back there. We'll get back to Hebrews chapter 11 here and look at the what the Bible says about what Noah did by faith. But I want us, first of all, to look at Noah's life. In Genesis chapter 6 is mainly where we'll be looking at his life. Excuse me, the record of Noah's life is really found in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. A little bit in verse 5 he's mentioned, but basically the main story of his life is in chapter 6 through to chapter number 9. I want us to see, as I've alluded to in the opening this morning, that Noah lived in a very wicked day. Noah lived in a time when wickedness was great upon the earth. Genesis chapter 6, it says in verse number 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him, at his heart. Verse 11 says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." The wickedness of man was great on the earth, it says in verse number 5. That word for great doesn't mean wonderful. Sometimes we say, have a great day. We're saying, have a wonderful day, have an enjoyable day. But the word great there, and as it's used in this, means abundant, multiplied, or plenteous. Now, that might be good in some things, but when it's the wickedness was great, that's not a good scenario. When the wickedness was multiplied, when the wickedness was abundant, when the wickedness was plenteous, that is not a good scene. That was the day in which Noah lived, way back when, many thousands of years ago. It says in verse number 5 also that not only was wickedness great, but the imagination, every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Wow, what a description of the thoughts of mankind. Now, you and I cannot know one another's thoughts, but God knows the thoughts, and God is the one who recorded that statement. He knows our thoughts. He knew the thoughts of the people of that day, and He said that every imagination of the thought of man was only evil continually. What an awful situation it must have been to live in a situation where the thought process of mankind was so depraved and so corrupt. Such was the way it was in Noah's day. Can you imagine how wicked their actions were if their thoughts were that bad? Because the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so realize that if the imaginations were continually evil, that the actions were going to be continually evil as well. No wonder that the wickedness of man was said to be great upon the earth. It was so wicked that it grieved God at his heart. It tells in verse number 6, God was grieved, He was upset, it saddened Him that man would live so wickedly. Imagine that God's heart was grieved because man had gone so far from Him in a relatively short space of time since the creation, when everything was absolutely perfect, we'd come to the point where every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. No wonder God was grieved. God is holy. God is righteous. God is separate from sin. And mankind was completely absorbed in wickedness. And God's heart was broken, we might say. He was grieved at His heart. He was grieved because He knows the destructiveness of sin. And though mankind may have seemed to be prosperous, God knew better because He could see the end of that path of wickedness. It says in verse 11, as we read, that the earth was corrupt. And verse number 12 says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth." The world was decaying and being destroyed by the people who had been set in charge over it. They were corrupt, and they were corrupting the society in which they lived. And thus the earth was filled with violence. It says in verse number 13 as well, "God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." The earth was filled with violence. You know, sometimes we think, well, if you put somebody in a perfect environment, that then everything will be fine and things will go well for them. But such is not the case, because man is sinful from the heart. And man had corrupted himself upon the earth, lived wickedly, so that the earth was filled with violence. We think we live in a violent world today, and perhaps it could be well said that we do, but certainly no worse than Noah's day. If it's bad, it was a very violent situation and wicked world in which they lived. And again, we live in such a world today that is filled with wickedness. We live in a world today that though we don't know, we cannot see and read people's minds and know the thoughts of their heart, yet by their actions we have to say there are some people whose thoughts must be only evil continually because of the way they live their life and the way they carry on the things that they do and the words that come from their mouth. And I'm sure that looking upon the earth today as God looks down from heaven and sees the 7 billion or so people upon the earth, that His heart today is grieved equally as it was in Noah's day. Grieved at the state of man. Grieved at the state of the world. You know, Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We look around upon the earth and we say, I think we're living pretty close to the days, the description we've just read. There's violence all over. People just go and shoot people for no reason, or go and beat people up or bully them, and the earth is filled with violence. The wickedness of man is great upon the earth today. People are doing things that so contradict the Word of God and think absolutely nothing of it today. We live in a wicked world, and Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We need to be looking today for the Lord's return. We sang that song, when Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, will He find us watching? Are we ready? Are we anticipating the coming of the Lord? Because our days certainly are similar to the days of Noah as we would look upon it and think about it. Out of that mess of a world stands Noah. And it says in verse number 8, as we think about all the wickedness that was upon the face of the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know how many people were living on the earth at the time, but all their imagination of their heart was only evil continually, but then there was Noah. He was different than the rest. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Last week we saw in Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. I would say to you today that Noah was a man of faith, even before he built the ark, because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what made his life different than the lives of the other people, because he was seeking to live by faith and trusting God. It says in verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. Amongst the wickedness of the world, there was righteous Noah, trying to do what was right. When it says perfect, it doesn't mean that he was faultless. He may have made a few mistakes when he was leading the singing and read the wrong words. He wasn't perfect without fault. But Noah was a man who desired to please God. Noah was a man who, in the biblical sense of perfect, means he was mature. He was a mature man in his faith. He desired to do what was right. In Ezekiel chapter 14, we find that God speaks about Noah and Daniel and Job, and He talks about them as being particularly righteous. Noah was a godly, righteous man, perfect in his generations, upright in his day, though his day was so wicked. He lived right and he preached righteousness, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. He taught people, he said, listen, you need to live right before God. Don't live in this wickedness. You need to live right. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he obeyed the Lord fully, as we find as God gave him the instructions to build the ark. It says at the end of verse 22, of chapter 6, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He tried to follow God and obey God with his life, not partially obeying, but fully obeying what God had said. You know, by the grace of God, Christians today need to be like Noah. The Bible says in Philippians 2:15 that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Can you imagine how Noah's life shone? In the darkness of wickedness that was round about him, and there was Noah doing right. People wanted to do wrong, and they were bent on wickedness, and there was Noah preaching righteousness and saying, this is not the way we ought to live. We need to live to please God. I need to believe God and follow Him. Thus our lives ought to stand out like Noah's life, and we should shine as lights in this world. And Noah walked with God. Last week we talked about Enoch, and he walked with God. It's also said, we mentioned it last week, that it said of Noah, they're the only two Bible characters that specifically said that they walked with God. Noah walked with God, Enoch walked with God. How did Noah live a righteous life in such a terrible world? Noah walked with God. He fellowshiped with God. He communed with God. He spent that time with God. Noah fellowshipped with God so much that God said to Noah, Noah, this is what I'm going to do. God shared his plans with Noah because he knew that he could trust Noah and know what Noah would do, what he was supposed to do. Noah's walking with God didn't end with the ark either. The Bible says as soon as they got off the ark, Noah built an altar to God to honor God and to worship God. We have to be challenged by Noah's walk with God because in spite of the wickedness of his day, he lived for God because he walked with God. If we're going to stand and we're going to shine as lights in the world in which we live, I propose to you there's only one way and that is by walking with God. Otherwise, it'll just be the self-righteous, pharisaical attitude of the ones who lived in Jesus' day who did one thing and said another. But that wasn't Noah, because Noah walked with God, and we need people today. We need to be people who will walk with God. But back in our text in Hebrews chapter 7, that was the really just to give us a picture there in Genesis. We need to see that and recognize the day in which Noah lived, the day of wickedness, and yet how Noah stood out differently. And so we've seen a little bit about Noah's life. Now let's look at Noah's faith back at our text in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 7, it begins, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah was warned of God, of things not seen as yet. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. The things that we see commonly today, they hadn't seen in that day. And God was warning Noah there was going to be a flood. They didn't know what rain was, let alone a flood. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that there was no rain, but God sent the dew that watered the earth every day. There was no rain clouds. It rained down torrential rain. It didn't rain cats and dogs or mice and chickens or anything else. It didn't rain. It was just the dew that God brought out of the ground to water everything. And think about that. Then God says to Noah, Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as of yet. They didn't know what that was. God warned Noah that he was going to destroy the earth and that man needed to get in the ark. Sadly, most people didn't heed the message, but Noah did. Noah was warned of God and Noah acted upon what he was warned about. You realize that God has warnings of judgment for us today? We mentioned already that Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. You know that Jesus is coming back? When Jesus comes back, the Bible says that there's going to be a time of 7 years of great tribulation upon the earth such as was not since the world began. That's a judgment that we are warned about in this book. We are warned of God. Noah was warned of God, and people today are warned of God by the Word of God. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. That's a warning of God. God says that if you die in your sins, you will be forever separated from him in a place called hell or the lake of fire. That's a warning of God. God warns us about that in the Word of God. Noah was warned there's going to be a flood. We are warned that except we repent, we shall all likewise perish. We are warned that Jesus is coming again, and after he comes again, the earth will be subject to the great judgment of God. We need to heed the warnings. We need to be aware of the warnings of God. We can go on blissfully living our life. Isn't that what people did in Noah's day? They said, Noah, you're crazy. And they went on blissfully living their life, still bent on wickedness and didn't heed the warnings of God. But the Bible says that Noah was moved with fear. Why? Because of his faith. Noah was moved. He was motivated by his faith. He was moved with fear. That word for moved with fear has the aspect both of apprehension and also of reverence. We use the word fear in both senses. We talk about people having a fear of God. That means they should have a deep reverential respect for God. But we also think about fear as being afraid of things and being scared of what was taking place. I would venture to say that Noah had both. We know that he walked with God. We know that he feared God in that reverential sense. There's no doubt about that. He walked with God. He knew God. He feared God enough to live justly. He didn't follow the example of the world. He preached righteousness in a very wicked society. Noah feared God, there's no doubt about that. But I'm sure that Noah was also afraid. Imagine when God said to Noah, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth with the earth. I'm going to send a flood that's going to destroy the whole world. Not just your area, Noah, the whole world is going to be encompassed by a flood. And I'm going to start over again with you and your generations. I'm sure that there was a fear in Noah's heart when God said that. Do you fear God today? We ought to fear God. I don't say we should cower and say, oh no, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, in that sense. Although we would do well to respect His great power. We sung about His grace this morning. We ought to be very thankful for His grace. But His grace towards us ought not to negate the fact that we ought to fear Him. Job said unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Such does the psalmist and the proverbs tell us, we ought to fear God. It will benefit our life to fear God. It'll keep us from sin. It'll extend our life, as it were, by keeping us from those things that would shorten our life. The fear of the Lord will keep our hearts right. The world doesn't fear God much at all. Neither did the world of Noah's day. It's not a great surprise that the world doesn't fear God very much because they haven't taken time to see what the warnings that God has given in His Word. The sad thing is when Christians don't fear God. The sad thing is when Christians think they can just live any old way they want and not worry about anything and about fearing God and not worry about what God thinks about things. We know and we believe that Jesus said that He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I believe that. Jesus Christ is our greatest friend. He said that we can abide in Him and let His words abide in us. He said that we can ask anything in His name and then He will do it. And we treasure that friendship. But don't let that friendship negate the fact that we ought to have a deep reverential fear of God. He is still God. He's still God, and we need to have that fear of Him, that reverence, that respect for God as being the great God that He is. And so our hearts and our lives ought to be full of reverential, godly fear. Noah was moved by God. He was moved by faith, rather. What did he do then? When he was moved by, he had that fear of God, and he was moved by his faith, what did he do? He prepared an ark. That's where you say, well, we knew that already. It's taken 20 minutes to tell us that. We knew all that already. We already have all those pictures of the little ark and Noah building and all that kind of thing. We need to see this morning that Noah acted because of his faith and fear of God. That's why Noah built the ark. He didn't do it to be a cute little nursery theme for a nursery, and I'm not against that. That's okay. We had those little cute things in our kids' bedroom walls and those kind of things. That's nice. That's fine. But he didn't do it to be a cute little nursery rhyme or a cute little nursery decoration. He built the ark because he had faith in what God was going to do, and he feared God. That fear and that faith caused him to act. Faith is not dormant. Faith is active. And Noah was moved by faith. When faced with God's warning, Noah acted in faith and built the ark, even though it didn't make sense. Why would you build a boat unless you're near the water? Why would you build a boat so huge when there's only, you know, father and mother and three sons and their wives? Why would you build such a big boat? Do you like your pets so much, Noah? Are you going to, like, take a zoo on the ark with you? It really didn't make a whole lot of sense in a world that hadn't seen rain to build an ark that wasn't necessarily even near some water that it could float in. But Noah did it because he believed God and what God had said He was going to do. And Noah did exactly what God told him because he believed God. Now you and I today, we don't need to build an ark. Now we see somebody walking around with pants that are too short. We say, hey, when's the flood, Noah? You know, it rains for a few days. You say, man, I feel like building an ark. We say, I have to build an ark soon. We joke around about that, but we don't need to build an ark. But we do need to act on the warnings of God and the warnings of His Word. See, there is a remedy for the eternal judgment that God warns about. We stopped. I always hate stopping at the point of saying, God says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I don't like to say that the wages of sin is death without saying, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See the difference, what makes the difference, what made the difference in Noah's day between Noah and the rest of the people of the world is Noah by faith acted on what God said. The difference, what makes the difference between a Christian and not a Christian is the Christian says, I believe what Jesus said. They become a Christian because they say, I believe what God says. I believe that my sin is ultimately going to send me to a devil's hell, but I believe Jesus died for me, and by faith I receive His sacrifice in my place upon the cross, and by faith I become a child of God. It's faith. See, God provided for us not to perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, when it comes right down to it, Noah's ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. All who were in the ark were preserved from God's judgment of the world. And all who are in Jesus Christ are preserved from the judgment of God upon the world. But they had to get into the ark. They had to say, I believe God's going to destroy the world. I believe God's message of judgment. Therefore, I'm going to walk up the ramp and climb into the ark. And today, people need to realize, yes, God's judgment is true, but Jesus Christ paid for my sin, therefore I will receive Him as my own Savior. I will enter the ark of safety, who is Jesus Christ. As the boat took the judgment of the waves and the wind and the rain, Jesus Christ took our judgment. He took our place. Isaiah 53 tells us that it's by His stripes that we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Oh, what a beautiful picture that ark is of Jesus and how He took our place. Noah acted in faith by building the ark. We must act in faith by trusting Jesus Christ. God has told us how to be ready for His return, for His coming judgment upon the earth. God has told us how we can be prepared for heaven and spared from hell. And by faith, we must say, I will believe. I will trust what God says and act by faith. Though warned of God's coming judgment, because they hadn't seen it before, some laughed at Noah. They mocked at him. They said, Noah, you're crazy. But Noah said, I believe God. Don't be one of those who says, oh, come on, this old earth's going to just keep on going. Don't worry about it. Jesus isn't coming again. That's what Peter talks about, people laughing at the fact that Jesus hasn't coming again because it's been preached for so long, He hasn't come yet. And say, oh, it's not going to happen. Rest assured, it will happen. You need to be ready. God's Word contains many warnings, yet sadly many go on with their lives and ignore it. You ever been warned about something in this life and ignored it to suffer the consequences? Remember, you're tapping away on the computer and the laptop says the battery is low and you say, I'll have time to finish this. And all of a sudden, it goes off. You go, wait, where's all that stuff? I just entered it all and it's gone. You didn't listen to the warning. Gone. You have a light on the dash of your car and you say, black electrical tape will cover that. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And all of a sudden, what happened? You didn't heed the warning. It was there, but you didn't listen. Well, how much more serious it is to ignore the warnings of God, to put the electrical tape over it, to just say, it's not going to happen to me. One day people are going to wake up in hell. They're going to say, what happened? God's going to say, you didn't heed the warning. I warned you. I gave you my book. That preacher preached. That friend of yours, that co-worker, he told you and you didn't listen. One day the saints are going to be caught away and God's wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth and people are going to wake up and say, what happened? They're going to realize, I remember my friend, that relative told me that Jesus was coming again, there was going to be tribulation on the earth, and I laughed at him and I didn't listen to the warning. Don't miss out on acting on the warnings of God. Are you prepared for eternity? Are you prepared for His coming? See, faith and the fear of God work together in your life and they cause you to act. They cause you to make a path and a choice in your life like Noah did. What happened to Noah? He prepared an ark and he saved his house. That's what it says in verse number 7. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know, it was big enough for many more. But they didn't climb on the ark. But Noah at least saved his house, his family, not the bricks and mortar. But he saved his family. They went unto the ark with him. You realize that Noah's sons were not little boys when they went unto the ark. They were married men. They had a choice. They didn't have to enter the ark. They could have chosen, like the many other people, not to enter into the ark. But no doubt they had seen in their father's life that example and testimony of faith. And they'd heard that warning from his lips and they said, we choose to believe God. We're going to choose to believe what our dad said about what God told him. And we're going to enter onto that ark like him. And he saved his family. May God help us to pray and so live before our family that they will see us follow Him and serving Him and desire that for themselves. I understand children have to make their own decisions. They get to a certain age and they no longer have to do what their parents tell them. But may it be the burden of our heart as Christian adults, Christian parents, to say, oh God, help me to live my life. Help me to be an example. Help me to teach my children so they'll follow You, Lord. So they'll have faith in You. Noah saved his house. And the Bible says that by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What do you mean he condemned the world? He stand on the top of the ark and say, ha, I told you so. You're all going to drown now. Too bad. No. I don't think Noah had that kind of heart. Not to preach for 120 years. That wasn't Noah. What does it mean he condemned the world? I believe it means that he showed the truth of God's Word and demonstrated the truth of God's Word. He preached the Word of God. And though they may have laughed at him, he was vindicated by his faith and by his action. 1 Peter 2 says to us, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So live your life, not intentionally to condemn the world, but so live your life so that they will be convicted of their own hearts and lives to believe the message that you preach. And Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was made righteous by faith. Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. Noah, likewise, his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. See, our own righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. It doesn't stand in the presence of God. Noah received the righteousness of God by faith. Our own righteousness, it would cause us to lift ourselves up. Hey, look at me, I'm better than you. God's righteousness bestowed upon us by faith says, I'm not worthy, Lord, but thank you for what you've done in my life. The Bible says that the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. It doesn't matter who you are. There's only one way to be righteous in the sight of God, by faith. Trust Jesus Christ. Be made righteous by faith. Yes, Noah is a well-known Bible character. We know him well for building the ark and calling the animals onto the ark. But Noah ought to stand in our hearts and minds today as an example of faith. Noah was moved by faith. How about you? Have you been moved by faith to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Having been warned of God and seeing the warnings of the Word of God, have you said, Lord, I don't want to die and perish in eternity. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I receive Him as mine. Have you heeded that message by faith? Christian, are you allowing faith to motivate you in your life to live for God, to do what's right? You say, but this world is so wicked. I just can't stand and do right. Noah did. He did it by faith. He said, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do what God says. And he stood out as one whose testimony was great in the earth. You see, we have to remember that Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Noah lived in a day a lot like ours. If it's not as bad as Noah's day yet, Jesus hasn't come yet, then it's not as bad. So it's going to get worse. But you can live by faith today because Noah did. The question today is, are you moved by faith? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time. And thank you for Noah, his life, his testimony even to us today. And Lord, we recognize and realize we believe we live in a day very similar to Noah's day. We don't know when our Savior will return, but we do know that the signs are all around indicating that it could be any moment. And so, Lord, you've told us to watch and be ready. Because you said that there were some in that day of Noah's day who didn't believe and didn't realize that the flood was coming until it was too late because the door had been shut. And so, Lord, there's people in our day too who won't believe until it's too late. Lord, may that not be the case with anyone here. But may we indeed this morning consider the message. If there be anyone without Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, today that they would be moved by faith to receive Jesus Christ, the only one who can save them. Lord, as Christians, if there be those of us in our lives, perhaps we've used this wickedness of this world as an excuse not to do the live right. May we be moved by faith and fear of you, deep reverential respect of you today to live in a way that pleases you despite the world. Lord, we may stand out like Noah did, but help us to live for you. Help us to choose to live for you by faith. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts today. Lord, that we'd make decisions by faith that would honor you. And so I pray you take this time and Lord, may we examine our own lives and our own hearts in such a way, Lord, that you be honored in the decisions made this morning by faith in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, have you been moved by faith to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a time and a place in your life where you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Say, yes, preacher, that's me. I remember a time in my life where I confessed my sin to God and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I know that if I died today, I go to heaven because I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior by faith. Anyone just like that, raise your hands as a testimony of that. Say, yes, preacher, that's me. I believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. I've received that gift of salvation by faith. Amen. Many hands this morning. You may put your hand down. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand because I don't honestly know that I've received Jesus Christ. I've got to be honest with you this morning, preacher. That message scared me a little bit. Those warnings in the Bible made me a little bit concerned about my soul and where I'll spend eternity. And preacher, I'd appreciate it. Would you pray for me that I would understand and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? Does anyone by an uplifted hand, let me pray for you this morning. I'm not sure of heaven. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. But I'd like to know, preacher, would you pray for me? Christian, you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart, perhaps. Maybe it's not that you've been living wrong, but maybe you've been challenged by Noah's life to live righteously in this wicked world in which we live, to be more ready for His return. Maybe it's just a challenge to so live and so witness to others that they would see that Jesus is coming soon. I trust that you'll do business with the Lord as He speaks to your heart this morning. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts, and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to respond. Lord, you've said that we cannot boast of tomorrow because we do not know what tomorrow will bring. But we have today. We have this time. We have this opportunity to respond to the message. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us each one to search our hearts. Oh Lord, if there be those who know not Jesus Christ, may they be saved today. Lord, that be our greatest desire, our greatest prayer as fellow believers, that they would be believers today and receive Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who know you, I pray you'd help us to realize the areas in our life that we need to act upon, even as we've seen through Noah's life this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.